Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Tonight, we continue our look back at the past year in music. We're talking with critics, with listeners, even a couple of members of our own Soundcheck staff, all of whom filled out our ultra-scientific 2012 music survey. But here's the thing. Your thoughts on the past year in music might be completely different from those that you'll hear on the show this week, and that's kind of the point. We want to hear about what stood out for you in music this year. It's not too late to go to soundcheck.org and click on Take Soundcheck's 2012 Music Survey. Joining me here in the studio now with his answers to our survey is John Pareles, music critic for the New York Times. John, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Was it a good year for you musically?
It's always a good year, actually, because there's just so much out there. And if you can find it and the bad stuff doesn't overwhelm you,
right.
There's so many hours in a week and there's enough music to fill it. So
there's always more than enough music to fill it. And sometimes what grabs you are not like the best, but the things that kind of creep up on you and surprise you. What was your big musical surprise of 2012?
Well, Frank Ocean was my favorite album of the year. And it was also a surprise because he came out of a place, the last place you'd expect him to come out of. There's this collective called Odd Future mm-hmm. in L.A. whose arrival was a big blast of nasty, taboo-bashing, wild energy. And out of this emerges Frank Ocean, who's this melancholic, introverted weirdo, crooning about everything that isn't cool in hip-hop. And makes a wonderful record.
Mm-hmm. Channel Orange.
Channel Orange.
We have heard several times the Frank Ocean record already, and this is only the second day.
I know. I think it's going to be one of those records that all the critics agree on. But the funny thing is that real people like it too.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it goes against every possible grain he can think of, people are reacting to it. When I went to his show, girls were squealing. People were singing along mm-hmm. on all the songs. He really is moving people. So he's doing something right.
Six Grammy nominations. How do you think he'll do in February?
I think he might be NDRE, and I think he might wipe out, frankly.
Wow, you think so?
But I've never been able to predict the Grammys.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see executive producer Joel Meyer going, "Yeah, I called it!" Because he was telling us that this morning. He thinks he's going to be another NDRE, get wiped out at the Grammys. We'll see. But another surprise, and one that you've written about in the Times, is, let's see, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, but geezer vitality, would that be right?
Well, that's the words I used. it's just been a very strange year. I mean, all these people who make albums now every 4, 5, 6, 7 years came out with amazing albums. Bob Dylan's album is, I don't know if I think he might be across a generational divide for people, but he's as tough-minded as any rapper. He's as heartfelt as any, you know, sensitive indie rocker. He's got his own sound. He's got his own sound world. Mm. And he wrote some really good songs. He also wrote my favorite couplet of the year, which is, "A gal named Honey took my money." I mean, you know, poetry.
So it was a good year for the old-timers, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Patti Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I could have made a top 10 list with people over 50, and they would have all been good records. Bonnie Raitt distinguished herself as a song picker this year. There's a song on her album called Not 'Cause I Wanted To, which is, I think, as good as one of the songs that she's always sung, which is I Can't Make You Love Me. Adele loved that song so much, she's been singing it live. This Not 'Cause I Wanted To. I mean, the Bonnie Raitt album now, you know, she's a geezer. She's independently released.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's going to hear this song, but I sort of wanted to jump up and down and point at this song because I just think it's a wonderful, heartbreaking, subtle, perfect song.
And it's John Pareles' answer to our question, favorite song of the year.
Well, I'm calling you 'cause you deserve to know. You were not the reason that I had to go. you through. If I knew the reason, I would tell you why somehow the feeling slipped away. I only did what I had to do, not 'cause I wanted.
Not 'Cause I Wanted To comes from Bonnie Raitt's album Slipstream, which she released independently, as John Perellis of the New York Times was just telling us. You can see all of John's answers to our 2012 music survey on our website at soundcheck.org. Favorite song of the year? This is how he answered it, with this Bonnie Raitt song, part of the Year of the Geezer.
Well, I don't want to go that far, because Young Whippersnappers did have a few great moments.
Biggest disappointment of the year?
Well, I'm just so tired of walking into public places and hearing the radio going and hearing yet another auto-tuned voice. Jay-Z said auto-tune was dead. Please listen to Jay-Z. He said this a couple of years ago. I just don't understand, really, why people want to drain their voices of emotion, why they want to sound like robots when human voices are so much more interesting. I guess it must have some metabolistic effect on ears coming out of radio speakers, because it's hard to get a song on the radio, on top 40 radio, that's not auto-tuned. But I just don't, it doesn't move me. Mm. And, you know, usually, I mean, I keep thinking it's going to be like the mullet of sounds. I mean, people are going to look back on this era and say, why did I let that, you know, onto my record? Why did I let my hair do that? And, but it's still here. Yeah. It's like a wine stain.
So maybe this is a related question, but also on our survey we asked, what is your worst song or album of the year?
Well, I actually hesitated to fill that out, because I really, my critical project is not putting people down, really.
Right, right.
But you asked, so I started listening around, and Payphone by Maroon 5 is a song that has every bad trend of 2012 all together in one ugly little package.
Including auto-tune?
Including auto-tune, including a whiny male voice, including a rap interlude that has nothing to do with the rest of the song, including a kind of a lame beat, including you can't find a payphone on the phone anymore. Who is he kidding? They're all ATMs now. So the combination was just too irresistible to throw a custard pie at.
Worst song of the year, Payphone by Maroon 5.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home all of my change I spent on you. Where have the times gone, baby? It's all wrong. Where are the plans we made for two? Yeah, I know it's hard to remember.
That is Maroon 5's big hit, Payphone, which leaves John Perellis of the New York Times unimpressed.
I really think the other listeners an apology for playing even that much of that song.
Now, you know, if you were a Maroon 5 fan from years before, and I don't know if you, John, were.
I wasn't.
Okay. But that's a very different... I mean, they were some kind of a rock band at the beginning, weren't they?
Well, they were also doing Stevie Wonder imitation. I mean, I never was deeply moved by them, but now I'm deeply moved in the opposite direction.
Well, then, let's get back to the positive side of our music survey. And again, you can take the survey, and you can see John's answers and all the other folks who've answered our survey on our website, soundcheck.org. One of our questions is favorite newcomer. This must have been a fun one to answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, because as always, there are so many. Alabama Shakes just they get straight to your heart. They're, and the story behind them is so great because they were a bar band a year ago. Somebody sent a photo that I'm at the bar listening to this band. Some guy at a blog saw the photo, thought she looked like Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who is the great electric guitar slinging gospel singer of
the mid-20th century.
Right.
You're talking about Brittany Howard.
Yeah, Brittany Howard is the singer. She has horn-rimmed glasses. She was wearing a house dress. And he listened to them, and the blog put the song up. The song suddenly gets noticed, and suddenly everybody realizes that Brittany Howard is an amazing soul singer and a really serious, heartfelt songwriter, too. And they're in this little town of Athens, Alabama, not even Athens, Georgia, Athens, Alabama, where she's a mail carrier. And, you know, a year later, the record is out and people are loving it. It's a heartwarming story. It's also a really good, solid, soulful record.
This is the Alabama Shakes. They've sporting 3 Grammy nominations, including for Best New Artist. And the song, I Ain't the Same.
I've been going through the motions. Wonder if anyone can see that I've been looking for something. Have you been looking for me? I ain't the same no more. It's not time to change from before. I know you ain't gonna buy me.
I Ain't the Same comes from the Alabama Shakes, led by singer Brittany Howard. The album's called Boys and Girls, and 3 Grammy nominations, John Perellis of the New York Times.
And she's only 24 years old.
And already, the almost inevitable comparisons, you mentioned Sister Rosetta Tharpe, but the name that people keep bringing up is, of course,
Janis Joplin.
Because
she improvises. I mean, I've seen them now a bunch of times. No song is ever the same. She's really doing it on stage. She's not a shtick. There was this whole soul revival business going around, and mostly it was about, I think, hats and shark skin suits. I mean, this is soul. This is not a revival.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was a great year for, you know, we've seen a number of years where women have sort of been front and center in the pop world. This year, there were figures like Brittany Howard, and also, I know she's sort of close to your heart, Fiona Apple, who had a great record this year.
Yeah, that record's pretty wonderful. It's basically her and a drummer, and she made this album with sound she could find near her house within walking distance. So they brought in all these drums into her house, I guess. But it's her albums have been like big and orchestral, and this one just leaves her all kinds of space to emote. And also, she's funny because she's crazy, okay? But she's onto herself also. So you have these songs where she's detailing how nuts she is, but also she's singing them in a way that you know that she knows how nuts she's being. It's a very twisted and fascinating and self-aware album. Also, the tunes are really good. So she's at war with herself, but she's also completely secure with herself.
And she is one of those figures in the music world that, you know, you kind of wonder how, I mean, there's always that sense of toughness and fragility at the same time. And you wonder how much more can we get from her before things fall apart?
And then she does it.
And then she comes back, yeah, with a great record like The Idler Wheel, if I can use the much shorter version of the full title of her record. This is from Fiona Apple.
My cheeks were reflecting the longest way. My fan was folded up and grazing my forehead.
Is Fiona Apple, a song called Anything We Want from her album of 2012 called The Idler Wheel, etc. John Pareles of the New York Times is with me on Soundcheck today. We're looking back at the year in music. That's not one of the answers to the survey, but I know, John, you really like that record. I do,
yes.
Too. She has always had a great voice. Her sister, Maud Maggart, is also a great singer, more in the kind of cabaret style. Mm-hmm. There is something in the genes in that family, boy, because both of them have great voices.
The sisters on that album, too, they do a canon at the end that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a bonus answer from John Pareles. You can see all of his answers to our 2012 music survey on the website.
It's very scientific, though, I think. I mean, I want to see the tally at the end.
Yeah. I don't think we expected anything resembling consensus, but already, I mean, as I said before, you're like the third or fourth person in day two of our looking through the survey answers to mention Frank Ocean's album as album of the year, and I suspect one of our guests tomorrow will be doing the same. So, you know, we are beginning to see the same names cropping up here and there.
But I'm actually really hoping for the long tail because there is so much stuff out there. I mean, you know, of the 30,000 albums that came out last year,
yeah.
I didn't listen to them all. I really hope, you know, your listeners are music people, and I hope that they're going to throw in that album that they want people to discover.
Right. Well, we asked for a trend that you noticed during the past year, and you came up with an interesting one.
Well, I said the march beat because it's everywhere, and I'm not a big fan of marches. John Philip Sousa was great. I love the Piccolo Obligato and the Stars and Stripes Forever. But the beat itself is kind of boring, kind of European, kind of not swinging, and it's on dance floors now. It's in that Maroon 5 song. It's a coercive beat. It just like stomps you and sends you in one direction. Whereas if you have a syncopated beat, there are all kinds of ways you can attach yourself to it. It took a generation for white folks to learn to clap on the backbeat. I watched audiences finally learn to clap on the backbeat, and now I think we're going to be clapping on the 1 and 3 again. It's kind of sad.
I like your use of the term coercive to describe the march beat, because after all, that's how a march developed, you know, as a way of kind of getting the soldiers in line. And
I wonder socioculturally, what are we marching toward?
Yeah.
But
so give us an example of song with the march beat.
The big hit song that really slammed you over the head was the fun song, We Are Young, which is kind of an interesting song because the verses are all about being miserable and crazy and stupid, and the chorus is triumphant, but it definitely marches out of your radio.
This band is Fun, the song, We Are Young.
Give me a second, I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she is waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken by some sunglasses asking about a scar. And I know I gave it to you months ago. I know you're trying to forget. But between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
Well, there is that heavy march beat.
Marching toward pop success.
Yes, they are. The band Fun and their hit single, We Are Young. So the march trend, one that John Pareles has noticed during the past year in music. John, you see a lot of concerts. So when we asked for your most memorable concert, that you must have had to do a lot of sifting through memories to get to your answer.
Actually, not so much.
Really?
Because this one really stood out. Bonnaroo is a festival in rural Tennessee that has the best sound system I've ever heard. You're out in this not so muddy field this year, but you're out in a field and it's like you're wearing headphones.
Really?
Yeah, you have to go if you haven't been there. So it was the perfect place to see Radiohead, which is what I named, and they were on fire playing the set. Their backdrop was like a giant blown up, slightly pixelated video screen, and they played a long set. They played new stuff. They played old stuff. It's all very complex. They're all jittering around the stage. They're all doing crazy polyrhythms. They're being Radiohead. behind them, this thing is flickering, and it's like you are trapped inside some mad computer game. And then the bonus was, I found out that the backdrop, each of those little pixels in their video screen, was the bottom of a recycled water bottle. So they were not only high tech, not only musically astonishing, they were also ecological.
Wow.
So bonus points.
All right. So Radiohead at Bonnaroo, John Pareles' most memorable concert of the year. And again, you can see all of John's answers to our Soundcheck 2012 music survey on the website at soundcheck.org. John, thanks for being with us.
Great
and
to be
Happy
back.
New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
John Pareles was talking about the sound system at Bonnaroo in Tennessee. Even that recording sounds pretty great for a live performance. We are looking back at the year in music with some critics and some of our listeners, and in a little while, even some of the Soundcheck staff. But joining me on the line now, Kevin from Hillside, New Jersey. He filled out our music survey, and Kevin, thanks for doing so.
Thanks for having me, John.
So what was your biggest musical surprise of 2012?
My biggest surprise was David Guetta's song featuring Sia, Titanium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of dance music, but for some reason when I heard this song, I just started tapping, you know, my feet to the beat, and I fell in love. And that kind of opened me up to just this whole plethora of dance songs that were all, you know, released this year.
So people have been talking about EDM, electronic dance music, and this is the song that, this was your gateway drug into that world, so to speak?
Yeah, that's my gateway drug,
yeah.
And I've been hooked ever since.
Let's hear a little bit from the song, David Guetta featuring Sia and Titanium.
Come me down, with you who have further to fall. Ghost down.
That is David Guetta featuring Sia and their hit song Titanium, which actually came out in 2011, but this was the year the extended mix came out, and Kevin from Hillside hearing that, and getting into the whole EDM or electronic dance music world because of it. What did you normally, what have you normally listened to pre-David Guetta, Kevin?
I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. I'm a big Norah Jones fan. Uh-huh. I think the biggest one that I know. But I've been open to various genres. But for some reason, I was never big on dance music. But for some reason, that's the one that took me into this whole new world.
Let me ask you, you mentioned Norah Jones. What did you think of her record from this past year, the one that Danger Mouse produced?
Yeah, Little Broken Hearts. I love it. Actually, on the survey, that's my favorite album of the year.
Okay.
We
also asked you, Kevin, for your biggest musical disappointment of 2012. What was your answer to that?
It was YOLO.
Can you explain what that means, YOLO?
You Only Live Once. It's a reference that became popular now because of Drake. He has a song called The Motto, mm-hmm. and he made reference to You Only Live Once. And for some reason, that phrase just took off. And, you know, young people were using it. Well, when I say young people, I'm also young. But, you know, people are using it so much. You know, now there are T-shirts and people getting tattoos. I think it just went way too far.
Uh-huh. So you just think it was a little moment that's been blown up into this kind of cultural meme or something, and there's no there? Is that the problem?
Yeah. I think there's just so much more that music offered us this year. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, this one just, you know, stuck.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you very much for filling out our survey and joining us on the show tonight. And Happy New Year to you.
You too, Don. Thanks.
Kevin from Hillside, New Jersey. And the song he mentioned by Drake, featuring Lil Wayne, also came out in 2011. But this was the year in which it blew up and was nominated for a Grammy.
Now she want a photo, you already know though. You only live once, that's the motto. YOLO, and we bout it every day, every day, every day. Like we sitting on the bench, so we don't really play.
YOLO, you only live once, that's the motto. The motto is the name of the song, Drake featuring Lil Wayne. And still to come, we'll take some more calls, and we'll speak with Anne Majette of the Washington Post and get her take on the year's best music. You're listening to Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So far in our look back at the year in music, we've heard about some breakout hip-hop stars, comebacks from rock geezers, and one very, very popular South Korean video star. Here to give us a slightly different take on 2012 in music is Washington Post classical music critic Anne Majette, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Anne.
Hi, John.
So let's go through your 2012 music survey. I'm going to start in the middle because we asked everybody about trends that they've noticed. And, you know, in the pop music world, there's been this trend away from big record labels to smaller kind of DIY projects. Is there something kind of analogous to that happening in the classical music world that you've noticed?
Oh, completely. I think that's been a trend for a while, and I would even say that this year has been maybe a tipping point for that, although that term tipping point is so overused. But it's clear increasingly that the traditional ways of making a career in classical music are not going to cut it much longer. Orchestras are increasingly threatened. And another disappointing trend this year was all of the labor problems and work stoppages and lockouts that we saw among major orchestras.
So in your music survey for Trend of the Year, you wrote orchestras having to face the music and pay the piper. So are there orchestras whose, you know, 2012-13 seasons have still not started because of this?
Absolutely. The Minnesota Orchestra is out. I think the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra is still out. Atlanta musicians went back reluctantly after a lockout, and there's a lot of bitterness in that orchestra. Indianapolis, I'm leaving out a couple. Mm. It's been a really brutal year, particularly at the start of the fall. And you could have a lot of sympathy of, oh, there's a recession, it's difficult. But these trends, as I said, are not new. And the big recession hit in 2008, and many managements fail to deal with foresight. Right.
And so while this is happening, as you alluded to before, you know, you've got lots of kind of startup groups, musicians banding together, playing contemporary music or taking kind of a new approach to the repertoire. So there is some good happening, just it seems like maybe on a smaller scale than the grand, you know, symphony orchestra in the big hall kind of thing.
I think it's great. I've started to say that I believe that classical music is a bit like sitting in a room with a woman who's giving birth, and somebody says, my goodness, that woman is in a lot of pain, and people turn around and say, hush, it's the miracle of childbirth. How dare you criticize it? That observing that there are certain problems and difficulties in the classical music industry is not the same thing as criticizing classical
right.
music. And for the art form itself, I think it can be very salutary.
So, so maybe now is a good time to talk about some of the things that you really enjoyed this year in music. Favorite album of the year?
It's so hard to pick one album. One of the trends that we see ongoing.
So.
Of course, it's part of the fun. I would pick Jeremy Danks' None Such debut, which is a wonderful pairing of the Ligeti Etudes with Beethoven's Opus 111. The Ligeti Etudes, much like his Charles Ives release, he brings a lot of insight and engagement and verve in a way that makes difficult music, to use a buzzword, accessible mm-hmm. to a wider audience. Also, this debut marks his ascension to a higher echelon, I'd say, in the music world, where he's more of an insider now and less of a sort of maverick.
Right. Jeremy Denk has been, you know, he's been gathering steam, especially here in New York, for a number of years. And when you mention Ligeti, you know, listeners, even listeners who don't know classical music will know some of his music because Stanley Kubrick would, you know, he was sort of a go-to composer for Kubrick.
Right.
2001 Space
2001.
Odyssey. But so the pairing of this late Beethoven piano sonata with the Hungarian composer George Ligeti. This is Anne Majette's favorite album of the year. Here's an excerpt from Book One of the Ligeti Piano Etudes. Just a little bit of Jeremy Denk's None Such recording debut, an album that pairs Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 32 with some of these piano etudes by the Hungarian composer, the late Hungarian George Ligeti. And Anne Majette, Washington Post's classical music critic, she filled out our 2012 music survey and is sharing her answers with us. Favorite album, this one from Jeremy Denk. Boy, that the Beethoven sounds a lot different in this context, doesn't it?
It does. I think one of the things Jeremy brings to music is this kind of light, antic, quirky touch, which comes through in that Ligeti piece tremendously, puts a smile on it. And in the Beethoven, it unanchors it from the sort of romantic gravitas tradition. Not that he doesn't play it with a lot of gravitas, but I felt like it was sort of liberated to float in 21st century air.
Now, you can see all of Anne's answers to our 2012 music survey on our website, soundcheck.org, and you can fill out the survey yourself. We'll be glad to hear what you liked or didn't this year in music. Now, Anne, when we ask for favorite song, you know, in the classical music world, that can be taken in a very strictly literal way, like an art song that was written this year. How did you take that question?
Well, I decided to take it as the equivalent of a pop music survey, meaning something recent that was on a new release this year.
Okay.
Which was the Derek Bermel's Canzones Americas.
So Derek Bermel, a Brooklyn-based clarinetist and composer, pairing up with the group Alarm Will Sound, splendid new music ensemble directed by Alan Pearson. I like this album a lot. It's kind of a riot of color, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a kind of carnival piece with lots of illusions, and some people really resist its lightheartedness again. Maybe it's my year of being antic. I don't know. Anyway, I liked it a lot.
The piece El Dude, which we're about to hear, who does that refer to, do you think?
Isn't it Dudamel?
I'm guessing it is Gustavo Dudamel, the young conductor of the L.A. Phil. Let's hear this piece from Derek Brummell's record, Canzonas Americanas. That is Derek Brummell and his album Canzonas Americanas, played by Alan Pearson and the group Alarm Will Sound. That excerpt's called El Dude. I don't know, Anne, possibly a reference to the film The Big Lebowski, but I think your take on it is probably the right one, a reference instead to Gustavo Dudamel.
I don't think it has to be an either-or at all.
Yeah, it could be both. You're right. Anne Majette from The Washington Post, she's their classical music critic, giving us her answers to the Soundcheck 2012 Year-End Music Survey. Favorite newcomer of the year, Anne?
Well, how do you define newcomer in classical music? The artist that I thought of right away was somebody who's not really a newcomer at all. She's 39 years old, and she's racked up an impressive number of YouTube video views. I think it's 51 million for her classical piano videos.
Wow.
She has been best known, however, among the classical music eggheads as Hilary Hahn's accompanist on the Charles Ives Sonata CD that Hilary Hahn and Valentina Lisitsa, this pianist, brought out in 2011. And 2012 was a year when she really came into her own as a soloist. Not that she hasn't given solo recitals before, but she did a recital at the Royal Albert Hall that played on her fame on YouTube and had big videos up over the stage and was released a month later, literally, as a CD, which has done very well and certainly has gotten her taken more seriously. The risk is that with all the hype as a blonde bombshell on YouTube, people will think of her as or dismiss her as a crossover type artist, and she certainly is not. She has a lot of chops and is a very exciting player and a lot of depth and is somebody well worth hearing, as that Ives album already demonstrated. But I think that this year she is a newcomer as a soloist, certainly.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit from Valentina Lisitsa and her recital album, recorded live at England's Royal Albert Hall. Valentina Lisitsa, recorded live at the Royal Albert Hall in England, and Anne Majette's favorite new artist of 2012. We're sort of skipping around Anne's answers to our end-of-the-year music survey. You can see all of them on our website at soundcheck.org. We've been asking Anne, we've been asking people for their biggest musical disappointment of the year. What let you down in 2012?
Well, I could name individual performances. I was really looking forward to hearing Vadim Repin.
Yeah, Vadim Repin.
I was looking forward to hearing him, and his performance was completely phoned in, routine, kind of an indictment of what a touring schedule can do to a classical musician's artistry in some cases. That was a big disappointment. I was also very disappointed hearing Hilary Hahn live with the pianist Hauschka doing a version of their improvisation that made the album Silfar, their Deutsche Grammophon album, which I was very intrigued by. Mm-hmm. In person, I found it really a lot less exciting and just something that needed a lot more work before I thought it was really ready for prime time, although I have to so applaud a classical artist making the foray into improvisation, which has unfortunately become something way outside the norm for classical artists. I virtuously will not name the Met Rings. Oh, except I just did. See what I did there? I did not see the entire ring cycle at the Met, so I cannot say that it was my greatest disappointment. I can say that the parts of it that I did see were disappointing. I can say that the expenditure of money and effort and hype on this very empty-seeming production is disappointing, and I can say that the Met in general has failed to come up with a lot of new productions that really excite me, and that's a big disappointment because every single one, I keep thinking, this is going to be the one, and I haven't seen one for a while that really did it for me.
All right, as long as we're talking about the dark side of the classical music world this year, worst music that you heard this year?
Well, there's always a big, easy category for a classical critic, which is the classical crossover category. Mm-hmm. We were treated to the artist Nathan Pacheco, told that he could hold his own toe-to-toe with any great tenor of the past. On my blog, I proceeded to put him up with a great tenor of the past. And guess what? He wasn't as good as Franco Corelli. I know that will amaze you. Andrea Bocelli released a new Romeo and Juliet, possibly pleasing his fans, still lacking perhaps the technique that would really bring that off. And Placido Domingo did a new duet album for reasons inconceivable, I mean financial, presumably, with a lot of big stars from other fields that was not a shining star in his considerable crowd of achievements.
Yeah, I remember Placido Domingo doing Send in the Clowns, or as he pronounced it, Sand in the Clones, many, many years ago. Is this songs duet album kind of a return to that kind of treacly sound?
Treacly sound with less motivation. I mean, I think Placido Domingo singing with John Denver all those years ago was something kind of new and wild, and you talked about it, and it was exciting. And now it's just plain pandering as far as I can see.
Well, before we pander by playing a little bit of it, let me just remind listeners that we haven't gotten to all of Anne's answers yet. Concerts, best concerts, and biggest surprise of the year. We can answer both of those questions by talking briefly about the University of Maryland Orchestra. There's a video of the performance on our website, and I did not know about this until you mentioned it in your answers on the survey. Thank you for pointing it out. It is wonderful. Listeners, check it.
Is that not wonderful? It
is absolutely wonderful. The University of Maryland Symphony Orchestra doing Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. You have to see it to believe it. I'll just leave it at that. And Anne Majet, thank you so much for sharing your answers with us from the 2012 Music Survey. It's nice speaking with you again.
Well, thanks for having me. And let it be noted that there were many things I liked in 2012, and I hope readers will go to your website and find that out, too.
All of Anne's answers are on the website at soundcheck.org. She's Washington Post classical music critic and a regular guest on Soundcheck. Happy holidays, Anne.
You too, John. Thanks.
And for what it's worth, Placido Domingo sings duets.
I'd give anything, a hunt everything, and I will always care. For weakness and strength,
happiness and sorrow, for better, for worse.
I will love you with every beat of my heart.
Woof. That is Placido Domingo and Susan Boyle singing From This Moment On. And From This Moment On, we should not speak of that again on Soundcheck. We are looking back at the year that was in 2012, the year in music. Let's check in with some of our listeners who filled out our end-of-the-year survey, too. We got a couple of callers joining us on the line. David is right here with us in New York. Hi, David.
Hi, John.
And say hello to Michael in Tiffin, Ohio, who's joining us as well. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
So, guys, you each filled out our survey. Thank you very much for that. I want to follow up with each of you on a a single answer that you gave. And David, for you, it's favorite song. You mentioned the group Shiny Toy Guns and their song Fading Listening. What is it about this song that made it your favorite of the year?
I have a really hard time answering that. I love the songs so much. It was so much fun to listen to. It's very polished, which is not everyone's cup of tea, but the production values are very high. It's just incredibly pretty from the beginning to the end, but I can't really explain the structure very well. It's got...
So it's not the usual verse, chorus?
It's not verse, chorus, but I don't think there is a chorus. It seems like a verse and then a bridge and then a verse and then another bridge to a different bridge. It's really difficult to explain.
Well, you got me intrigued. Let's listen. This is Shiny Toy Guns with Fading Listening. Fading Listening from the third album by the band Shiny Toy Guns. David here in New York answered our question about favorite song of the year with this one. On the survey, David writes, sounds a bit yacht rocky at times, I concede. Michael, what do you think of David's choice?
That was really smooth.
Yeah?
I like that. It's got a bit of like holiday spirit in it, too.
Now, Michael, when you filled out the survey and you came to the question about your favorite new band or artist of 2012, who'd you go with?
I think I said Reptar, and I don't know if they like completely qualify as new. I think they were at CMJ a couple years ago, but they released their first album this year, and or first like full length LP, and I liked it a lot. I don't know what else to say more than that. It was just.
Were you a fan? Were you a fan of Rugrats, the animated?
Yeah, I was just gonna say too. Yeah, and the name is definitely kind of catchy.
David, have you heard Reptar or heard of them?
I have not. I'm looking forward.
Well, I actually had a chance to see them here in New York at Terminal 5. They put on a great live show. This is from their album Body Faucet.
Don't open wide. The lemon spills out from the side.
The winningly named Reptar and a song called Sebastian from their record Body Faucet. That was the favorite new artist of our caller Michael in Tiffin, Ohio. David's been with us as well from right here in New York. Guys, thank you both for joining us today, for filling out our survey online, and best wishes to you both for the new year. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And still to come, we'll check in with a couple of members of the Soundcheck team to see what they've been listening to and liking this year. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Once again, we're recapping the year in music all this week on the program. Joining me now, two members of our own Soundcheck team, producer Katie Bishop and digital producer Mike Katziff. And both of you, when we got to the question about music trends, went straight to the field of pop music. Katie, you first. Boy bands.
Boy bands are back, but I'm going to say sort of. So this year we saw the return of the boy band. I came of age during the last great boy band era with NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, but this year we saw an explosion of them. We had The Wanted, Big Time Rush, and of course One Direction, which we just heard. One Direction actually made Billboard chart history. They were the first album from the UK, the first UK group to premiere at the top of the Billboard 200, but their first week sales of, you know, a little over over 150,000 copies compared to someone like the Backstreet Boys, who had, you know, over a million in their first week sales. Not quite as big of a trend.
It's a different world out there. And Mike, pop music sort of cropping up on the answers to your survey as well.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people like me, who sort of have ignored pop music in the past, this was sort of a year where you couldn't ignore it and you sort of didn't want to ignore it. There was enough songs out there that, while it might not be your particular thing, whether it was Carly Rae Jepsen or Fun or Taylor Swift or Usher, there was enough in like the production or inventive songwriting, or it was really fun and catchy to listen to, that it was sort of okay to say, I really like this and it's not a guilty pleasure. I just really enjoy it.
So what would you have been listening to without all this great pop stuff?
Oh, sad music. I don't know. Rock music with lots of noise and distortion.
Sad indie music.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this brings us to the big question of the survey. Favorite album of the year? Katie?
Yeah. For me, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the group The Punch Brothers. I have been for a couple of years. Their album this year, Who's Feeling Young Now, definitely my most listened to album of the year and also my favorite. I feel like they've come to a really wonderful place where they've found a balance between bluegrass and sort of a pop sound. You know, you can sing along to all the songs on their album, which I enjoyed from front to back. That really was my favorite album this year.
And led by mandolinist, singer, composer, and now MacArthur Award
genius
winner, Chris Thiele. This is Punch Brothers with Movement and Location. That is the band Punch Brothers from their album Who's Feeling Young Now, which is Katie Bishop's album of the year, part of our Soundcheck production team. Completely acoustic, but it sounds like they've been listening to a little EDM, a little electronic dance music.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, Mike, what sad, dark, depressing music moved you the most during the past year?
I mean,
year?
This is pretty typical. So my favorite band of this year, my favorite new band this year, there was just a lot of really great new debuts this year, but a Brooklyn duo, Aleska Palladino and Devin Church, married couple. She was actually an actress on the show Boardwalk Empire before, spoiler alert, she got killed off. And so this record came out.
Sorry, people who've just rented season one and two.
Yeah. So.
And the band is called?
The band's called Exit Music. And they put out this amazing record this year called Passage. And it's one of those like really dark, brooding, haunting records about despair and frayed emotions. But it's also really beautiful and romantic. Lots of layers of noise and like this kind of cascading waterfall of guitar feedback. And it's very like emotionally overwhelming and just really beautiful. And so
happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Exit Music, all one word, is the name of the band.
My
Exit Music is the name of the band. That's The Night from their album Passage, which is Mike Katziff's favorite album of the year. I like that. That's nice.
Oh, thanks.
I hadn't heard that before. You can see all of Katie's and Mike's answers. Mike's slightly more inscrutable than Katie's to the annual Soundcheck Music Survey on our website at soundcheck.org. You can see my answers to the survey as well. We're sort of running out of time, but I will share with you my answer to the favorite song of the year question, which for me was Matthew Dear's Her Fantasy, a song that reminds me an awful lot of late period David Bowie, but with a kind of modern dance beat to it. So here's a little bit of that from Matthew Dear. Matthew Dear's Her Fantasy. You can see all of my answers to the music survey on our website as well at soundcheck.org. Katie Bishop and Mike Katziff, half of the production team. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
The other half of the team joining me on the program tomorrow. Also tomorrow, our look back at the year in music continues with Ann Powers of NPR Music and the worst music of the year, at least according to two salty critics, Maura Johnston and Chris Weingarten. That's next time. Until then, check out the two-part special of our favorite in-studio performances of the year. It's posted on our website at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck.